Today's daf is Psachim Daf Yud Gimel, and we are two lines from the top of Daf Yud Gimel, Omer Aleph, Omer Rav Nachman, Omer Rav. Today's daf is being learned as a Schus Refuah Shalema for Shlomo Ben Zara Aliza, Avadya Ben Miriam Leah, Manuela Baschana, and Avram Ben Shanaz. Today's daf is also being learned to Ilui Nishmas Avram Ben Yibadol Chaim Toivim, Rav Moshe Chaim. So the Gemara on Daf Dalid Amid Beis said, "The Kuli Alma Mia Chametz Mishay Shoyz Ulamayla Aser." Everybody agrees that although the Iser Chametz is often thought of as being something that goes into effect on Pesach, really the Iser Chametz goes into effect on Erev Pesach. Mida Oiraisa. What time Erev Pesach does it go into effect? Meaning from the end of the sixth hour, meaning Chatzoy Sayyid. So the first 6 hours of the day, Erev Pesach, Chometz is Mutter. The latter 6 hours of the day, Chometz is going to be Yasa. Stating that, the Chachamim went and they said, we have to make a Gzeira. We have to make a Harchaka. To tell time, once upon a time, was something that wasn't as straightforward as it is today. And as a result, if this is going to be a Soif Zman Achilas Chometz, we're if you miss it by a second, you're going to be over in Issa Deiraisa. We have no choice but to make some sort of archaka. Rav Meir said that it was for that reason, the Chachamim said, that although midday Raisa Chametz is only Asa Mishay Shoyas Ulamayla, meaning for the first 6 hours of the day, Erev Pesach, you're allowed to eat Chametz. However, no, you're only going to be allowed to eat Chametz for the first 5 hours of the day. That sixth hour, Chametz is already going to be Asa. Not midday Raisa, but it's going to be Asa Midrabana. Rabbi Yehuda took it a step further. Rabbi Yehuda said 1 hour, that's not going to be enough. You have to go and you have to make Archaka of 2 hours, meaning Chametz is going to be Asa. Not from Shei Shoy Sulamayla, but it's already going to be Yasser Me Arba Shoy Sulamayla. So for the first 4 hours of the day, you'll be able to eat Chametz, but already from the end of the fourth hour, from the fifth hour moving forward, Chametz already is going to be a problem. So whereas according to Rav Meir, the Harchaka Midrabanan was 1 extra hour, according to Rav Yehuda, the Harchaka was 2 extra hours. Then the Mishnah brought a third sheet to Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Gamliel said it depends. Chulin Nachalin Kol Arba. Vitruma kol chamish. You're allowed to eat chulin for the first 4 hours of the day, like Rabbi Yehuda. Truma, you get to eat for an extra hour, like Rabbi Meir holds. You're allowed to eat for the first 5 hours of the day. What would be the svara to be more makel by truma than by chulin? Ordinarily, we're more machmer when it comes to truma over chulin. It's truma, it has kedusha, it has a lot of isurim, misa, bidei shamayim. So usually you find chumras associated with truma. Where do you find suddenly, and what would be the reason that there should be a kula? The teretz is because to go and say that you're not allowed to eat truma much earlier than really you are allowed to eat truma, essentially, you're going to bring truma to a matzev where you're going to have no choice but to burn it. And that's a problem. That's an invoice we're not willing to pay. Because to say that you're not allowed to eat truma, yeah, that's a chumrah. But by saying that you're not allowed to eat truma, you're going to end up burning the truma. And that's actually a kula. So said Rabbi Gamliel, I really would take on the chumrah of Rabbi Yehuda. I would say that you should stop eating chametz already 2 hours before the Soif Zman Achila. However, not for truma. Because truma is going to be Yatzah Schari Bef Seidah. So as it relates to chulin, Rabbi Gamliel said, you're allowed to eat for the first 4 hours of the day. As it relates to truma, you actually get an extra hour. Counterintuitively, you're allowed to eat it not for the first 4 hours, but rather you're allowed to eat it for the first 5 hours. Again, what are the three shittas? According to Rav Meir, you can eat chametz midrabanan for the first 5 hours of the day. That sixth hour is where the issa derabanan goes into effect. According to Rabbi Yehuda, the first 4 hours of the day. According to Rabbi Gamliel, it depends. Chulin, you have 4 hours like Rabbi Yehuda. Truma, you have 5 hours like Rav Meir. But one thing is clear. Everybody agrees that the sixth hour or up until the sixth hour, chametz is going to be mutter behana. The whole shaila is as it relates to the iser achila, but as it relates to the iser hana, kuli amaloi pligi. Everybody agrees that there isn't going to be an iser hana up until the fifth hour, meaning the last hour for sure is when the Isser Hana is. The Machloikis is as it relates to the Isser Achilu. It's about that Hakdomo Zok de Gemara. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav. Rav Nachman said in the name of Rav Alochik Rav Yehuda. The Alochik Zok Rav Yehuda. So as it relates to this Machloikis between Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda, we paskin like Rav Yehuda. Now, as it relates to Kol Yapsak, if there's a Machloikis Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda, who do we paskin like? So it's a Gemara in Erevin, Dachman, Vavam, the base. The Gemara says we paskin like Rav Yehuda. However, you have to read the fine print. The fine print is Halochik Rav Meir. That when it comes to a gzeira, then we paskin like Rameir. So the truth is, it sounds a little bit like maybe this is a gzeira. And if this is a gzeira, then could be based on Kol Yapsak, the halacha would be like Rameir. But either way, whether this is a halacha Rameir b'gzeirosav, or this is a classic machlokes Rameir, Rabbi Yehuda, where we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, Rav Nachman said in the name of Rab, you don't have to simply rely on Kol Yapsak to know what the halach is. But rather, in this case, the halach is going to be like Rabbi Yehuda. Amalei Rava, the Rav Nachman. So Rava told Rav Nachman, the name of Mar. Why doesn't Rebbe say, halacha k'Rav Meir? Now, what's the basis the halach should be like Rav Meir? Mehechatesi. He said, the sasam l'tanak avosei, because I have a stam mishnah like Rav Meir. Now, all stame mishnah are really like Rav Meir, but the fact that there's a stam mishnah like Rav Meir, Rava felt should be a raya that over here the halacha has to be like Rav Meir. So where's this stam mishnah? It's not our mishnah. Our mishnah is not a stam mishnah. Our mishnah brought three shittas: Rav Meir, Rav Yehuda, and Rav Gamliel. So the Gemara, the Tanan, it's a mishnah likamon. It's the name of the second parak of Masechtas Pesachim. Kol sha zok the mishnah shabut lechol. The entire time that you're allowed to eat chametz, Michael, the halach is you're allowed to feed your animals chametz. What does that essentially mean? The soifs man achila midrabanon is the same as the soifs man hana midrabanon. Kol shosh hamutol lechol, that's achila. Michael, you're allowed to feed your animals, which is, I'm allowed to benefit from it. There's going to be a heter hana. Now, according to Rav Meir, the soifs man achila is at the end of 5 hours. The soifs man hana is at the end of 5 hours. So the two coincide. It's very nice to Mishnah. Kol shosh hamutol lechol machol. But according to Rav Yehuda, the two actually don't coincide. Because the soifs man achila is 1 hour earlier than the soifs man hana. The soifs man achila is at the end of 4 hours. You have one extra hour where you're allowed to have hana. So it's not true. Kol shosh hamutol lechol machol. So Rava asked Rav Nachman that why would you have said over in the name of Rav the halacha is like Rav Yehuda? Lechura is a stam mishnah. The kamon, the first mishnah, the second parak of Masechtas Pesachim, which seems like it's shitas Rav Meir. So if that's the case, shouldn't you paskin like Rav Meir? So the Gemara says, "Ahu ahi lav stamu." That's really not a stam mishnah. Why? Why is it not a stam mishnah? It's mamish Rav Meir shita. Gemara says, "Mishum the kasha mutter," because that mishnah was actually talking not about chulin. But that Mishnah, the first Mishnah, Parakol Shah, is talking about Truma. And being that it's talking about Truma, it's not Muchach that the Tan of the Mishnah is Rav Meir, but rather it could be the Tan of the Mishnah is Rabbi Gamliel, who agrees with Rav Meir by Truma, and holds that Truma you're allowed to eat for 5 hours, not 6 hours, but you're allowed to eat for 5 hours, which means that the Soif Zman Achilas Truma coincides with the Soif Zman Hana, and that's what the Mishnah means when it says, Kol Shah, Shamutol Lechol Machol. So there's no Hechret that that Mishnah is going to Rameir, in which case you have a Stam Mishnah Rameir. Maybe that Mishnah is going to Rabbi Gamliel, and being that it's going to Rabbi Gamliel, so you can't ask me a Kasha Pasuk like Rameir because it's Stam Mishnah like Rameir. There is no Stam Mishnah like Rameir. That Mishnah is actually going according to Rabbi Gamliel. Now, why would you assume that that Mishnah means Rabbi Gamliel? So the Gemara said, Mishum the Kasha Mutter. The word Mutter is what was Machriach Rav Nachman to say that that Mishnah doesn't mean Rav Meir. That Mishnah is talking specifically about Truma, and it means Rabbi Gamliel. The reason is because Mutter sounds like something that one person is allowed to do, but maybe other people are not allowed to do. Everyone's allowed to eat Chulin. Only some people are allowed to eat Truma. Meaning, if what the Mishnah was saying was Shitas Rav Meir, then it wouldn't have said Kol Shosha Mutter Lechol Machol. It would have said Kol Shosha Oichol Machol. Anytime you're allowed to eat, you're allowed to have Hanah. Oh, Rav Meir Shita, that the Seif Zman Achil and the Seif Zman Hanah coincide. They're one and the same. But Kol Shosha Mutter Lechol sounds like as long as it's Mutter for one person to eat something that's Mutter for him, that's really awesome for other people. Oh, we're talking about Truma. The Seif Zman Achil's Truma coincides with the Seif Zman Hanah. That's not Rav Meir Shita, because according to Rav Meir, it would be true even for Chulin. That's going according to Rav Gamliel. Zok to Gemara. Okay, so the name of Amar Alach Ikram Gamliel. So then, why did Rav Nachman Amar Rav say that Alach is like Rav Yehuda? He should have said that Alach is like Rav Gamliel. So first, the Kasha was the halacha like Rav Meir because he's having stam mishnah in the beginning of Parak Kol like Rav Meir. So the Gemara was doicha that. The Gemara said that mishnah is really not Rav Meir. Okay, who is the mishnah? It's Rabbi Gamliel. Okay, then say that the stam mishnah should be like Rabbi Gamliel. That would appear to be the Gemara's kasha. The problem is the Gemara adds three words. Says the Gemara, "Dahavel emachria," meaning why is the Gemara asking that Rav Nachman should have paskin like Rabbi Gamliel? Not because of the Stam Mishnah Lekamon that the Gemara seems to think now is Rabbi Gamliel, but for a different reason. Dahavel emachria, because Rabbi Gamliel comes out as being the machria. So what does it mean that Rabbi Gamliel is the machria? What it means is, at the end of the day, Rabbi Gamliel compromised. Rabbi Gamliel said, Rabbi Meir, you hold Seif Zman Achilas at the end of 5 hours. Rabbi Yehuda, you hold Seif Zman Achilas at the end of 4 hours. I'm going to be the Kosev Ashlishi, and I'm going to be Machria Bene. The Seif Zman Achilas, as it relates to Chulin, is going to be 4 hours. As it relates to Chum, it's more Kuladig, it's going to be 5 hours. If that's the case, you know what comes out? We have three Tanom that are all taking positions about what the Seif Zman Achilas Midrabanon on Erev Pesach. There are two Shittas that hold that the Seif Zman Achilas of Truma is at the end of 5 hours, Rav Meir, Rabbi Gamliel. And there are two shittas that hold that the Seif Zman Achila of Chulin is at the end of 4 hours, Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yehuda. If that's the case, if you simply take a vote, Achrei Rabbim Lahatois, you can have two out of three saying that the Seif Zman Achila's Chulin is the end of 4 hours, two out of three saying the Seif Zman Achila's Truma is at the end of 5 hours. Based on that, if Rabbi Gamliel is the Machria, he's like the one that's making the compromise, he tips the scale as far as the vote goes. So based on that, shouldn't we paskin like Rabbi Gamliel? So the Gemara's kasha was not we should paskin like Rabbi Gamliel because of the cheshbon that the Stam Mishnah in the beginning of Perek Kol Shah is Rabbi Gamliel. That's not the Gemara's kasha. Tosfos, by the way, the top Tosfos on the Yom, it says, the kasha l'ri. That should have been the Gemara's kasha, but it wasn't the Gemara's kasha. Ayin shon. The Gemara's kasha was that shouldn't Allah be like Rabbi Gamliel because Rabbi Gamliel is coming out to be the Machria. On Malays, Rabbi Nachman told Rabbi Gamliel lav Machria. Rabbi Gamliel is not a Machria. Rather, Tam Dinafshei Ka'amar. He's coming, he's saying his own pshat. And being that he's saying his own pshat, this has nothing to do with Rabbi Gamliel being the Machria. Meaning, when do you say the Halacha is like the Machria? That's when some Tana comes and he makes a compromise. Over here, the Gemara's understanding is a long Rashi that explains this, is that Rabbi Gamliel is not really making a compromise. Rabbi Meir never said anything about distinguishing between Chulin and Truma. Neither did Rabbi Yehuda. They just said there's a Seif Zman Achila up to 4 hours, Seif Zman Achila up to 5 hours. Rabbi Gamliel came and he was mechadish a nusach. He said it depends if it's chulin or if it's truma. Had Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Yehuda talked about truma, and then Rabbi Gamliel would have came and said chulin like this, truma like that, then we would have viewed Rabbi Gamliel as a machria. And then there's a policy halacha Rabbi Gamliel or halacha kedivrei machria, and therefore we would have passed Rabbi Gamliel. But being that Rabbi Yehuda never spoke about Chulin and Truma, it's Rabbi Gamliel's Chiddush, Chulin and Truma. So even though technically his halacha is a compromise, but we don't apply the halacha of halacha kedivrei HaMachri. So what's the bottom line? Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav, halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda. What was the Gemara's kasha? Halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda. Isn't it a Stam Mishnah later? Like Rav Meir, the Gemara says no. That's Stam Mishnah's Rabbi Gamliel. Okay, so why didn't he pass like Rabbi Gamliel based on halacha kedivrei HaMachri? Because over here Rabbi Gamliel is really not being a Machri. So the Gemara of Iba is saying, well, alternatively, you could say that the reason Rav felt so strongly that Allah should be like Rabbi Yehuda, the Amir Kai Tana, because he held it, he knew of another Braisa, and it was based on that other Braisa that he passed in like Rabbi Yehuda. The Tanya went into the Braisa, if the 14th day of Nisan, meaning Erev Pesach, falls out on Shabbos, Mevarin es hakol milifnei haShabbos, so you can't burn the Chametz on Shabbos. So when do you burn the Chametz? The day before Shabbos. You burn it on the 13th day of Nisan. V'sarfin trumois tameis. Not just that. You burn all truma that's tame, tluyois, all truma that's a suffix tame, v'tahoyrois, and all truma that's tahar. U'mishayrim min ha-tahoyrois mazin shtei sudais. However, you leave over a little bit of tahoyrois, truma tahira, ideally, if you're someone that's able to eat truma. How much should you leave over? Enough to eat two meals. These are the two meals that you're going to have to eat on Shabbos. K'dei lechol adal choice. Like this, you'll be able to eat any chametz up until 4 hours in the day. Divrei Rabbi Lazar ben Yehuda ish bar susa sha'amar mishum Rabbi Yeshua. Amrulai, so they told him, Tairus la Yisrafu. Now, I don't think it's an idea to burn truma that's tahar on the 13th day of Nisan. Shema yimtzol neichlin. Because, again, as we said earlier, to burn truma is always a bidiyevet. So just to go ahead and burn it on the 13th day of Nisan, you still had to eat it. You could eat it until the 4th hour of the day. It sounds like on Shabbos. So if that's the case, then why would you burn it? Maybe someone's going to come around and want to eat it. So why did you pass and you should burn it? Let me told him, far big shovel matzo. They must have been looking for somebody before Shabbos. They couldn't find anybody. So now Shabbos is coming. Not going to be able to burn it on Shabbos. So to keep up our hopes that maybe somebody's going to arrive that we didn't anticipate earlier. So we have no choice. We have Amrullah. They said, you never know. Maybe someone's going to come from outside the Chaim. Rashi says, outside the Chaim, but inside the Tchum. But maybe someone's going to arrive on Shabbos and that person, Amalehem, the Devrechem. So he said, according to you, so meaning you only have a problem with me saying you should burn the Chumah that's Tahar before Shabbos. I think maybe based on your logic, you shouldn't even burn the truma that's a suffix that might be tar, might be tummy. Why? Shemi Yovi Aliyo Vietaren. Because maybe Aliyo Novi is going to come on Shabbos and he's going to be Teiku, Tishbi Yataritz, Kushis Vaboyas, and he's going to say that it's really tar. I'm like, Far Muftach Lam Yisrael. Klai Yisrael has a haftacha. Such an interesting Lashon HaGemara. There's a haftacha, there's a promise, not a bracha, haftacha, she'en Eliyahu ba, lo'i ba'arvei Shabbos, lo'i ba'arvei Yom Tovim. Eliyahu HaNavi is not going to come on Erev Shabbos, he's not going to come on Erev Yom Tov, b'nei HaTorach. Why? Because Yidden are busy preparing for Shabbos. And preparing for Shabbos is such a big deal, right? The Gemara says in Shabbos, Pechesem Aleph, that really the Torah could have been given on Erev Shabbos. Instead, it was given on Shabbos. Why? Erev Shabbos, Mepnei HaTorach. How was Moshe Rabbeinu going to go up to Shamayim? He had to prepare for Shabbos. Moshe Rabbeinu had to prepare for Shabbos. Right? The Shulchan Aruch and Siman Reish Nun and Hilchah Shabbos talks about all the Amirayim, Machrech Reisha, Malach Shibuta, Rav Chizda, all the Amirayim that prepared for Shabbos. Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't be in the Kabbalah the Torah. We spoke about this. We have a raid bite on this. Maybe it's in Shabbos Peches. I don't remember. But we have a raid bite on this. But either way, Eliyahu HaNavi is not going to come on Erev Shabbos. Why not? But either way, so he said that burn the Suffolk Truma, you might as well burn because nothing's changing between now and the Seif's Manachila, but the Tahar Truma, he said that's already something that you shouldn't burn. Bottom line is, the Gemara said over a halacha that Rabbi Lazar ben Yehuda Ishbar Susa said in the name of Rabbi Yeshua. What was this halacha? Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos. It poses an obvious issue. What's this? How are you going to burn the Chametz? Now, how are you going to bring the carbon Pesach? So that's a sugi we're going to learn later in the Masechta. One of the most geschmackin sugis in Masechta is Pesachim. The Maisa with Hillel and the Bnei Beseirah. The Karban Pesach is Deich HaShabbos. Because the Karban Pesach had a din of a Karban Tzibur. And all Karbanos Tzibur were brought on Shabbos. Even though the Karban Pesach really was brought by individuals. It wasn't one Karban, but all the Yidden were doing it. And because all the Yidden were doing it, it had a din of a Karban Tzibur. And a Karban Tzibur is Deich HaShabbos. But then we're talking about Tzreifas Chametz. Tzreifas Chametz is not Deich HaShabbos. So what do? You burn the Chametz before Shabbos. What do you do with the Truma? This is the Shaila. What do you do with the Truma? So it was a mach like this. Rav Yeshua, Rav Elazar ben Yehuda Ishbar Susan, the name Rav Yeshua said that you should burn even the Tahiros. You should just leave over a little bit. How little? Enough for Mazon Beis Sudos. And you'll eat those mazon beis sudos before 4 hours in the day, which is the seif zman achilas chametz. But other than that, any chametz that's truma, you have to burn. What did the chachamim tell him? The chachamim said no. Chachamim said don't burn any truma tahir because you never know a kohen may show up. Okay, so what's the halacha? Amru, they said loizalzim mishamach kaba halacha. Rabbi Elazar ben Yehuda ish bar susa shama mishum Rabbi Yeshua. They said the halacha is like this shita of Rabbi Elazar ben Yehuda. Ish bar susa in the name of Rabbi Yeshua. Now, my love, he said a lot of things. Rabbi Elazar ben Yehuda ish bar susa in the name of Rabbi Yeshua. One of the things he said is that you're not allowed to eat chametz only up until the fourth hour. Right? That's what he said. What's the seif zman achilas chametz? It's the fourth hour. So when we said the halach is like him, doesn't it mean afilu lecha? Even regarding the seif zman achila? Meaning, the ikur machloikas in this braiso was with regards to what you do when it comes to burning true mochametz when Pesach falls out on Shabbos. That's the ikur shayla. But Derech Agav, he threw in that what's the seif zman achila? It's 4 hours. So if the Seif Zman Achila is 4 hours, and we're saying that Allah is like him, it sounds like the Allah is like Rabbi Yehuda. So that's the Iba Yisayim of the Gemara. Again, Rabbi Nachman said in the name of Rabbi, the Allah is like Rabbi Yehuda. Because why the Allah is like Rabbi Yehuda? You have a Stam Mishnah later in Perek Kol Shah, like Rabbi Meir. So the first Teretz of the Gemara was that Stam Mishnah is not Rabbi Meir, it's really Rabbi Gamliel. The Iba Yisayim of the second Teretz of the Gemara is, yeah, maybe there is a Stam Mishnah later. But at the end of the day, Rabbi knew about this Braisa, and he heard the Halacha. And one of the things he said was that what's the Seif Zman Achila? Kidei Lechol Ad Dalit Shois. It's up until 4 hours. But the Gemara says, Amar HaPapim Shmei Derav Aloi Levar. This whole Hechruch is not a Hechruch. Because when they said the Halacha is like Rabbi Elazar ben Yehuda Bar Susa Shammai Mishum Rabbi Yeshua, they weren't referring to the Seif Zman Achila. That's not what they meant. They were talking about the Machloikis. What do you do with Shruma Tahira on Yud Gimel Nisan when Yud Dalit Nisan is going to be Shabbos? Zok the Gemara. Af Rebbe Sava Lahad Rav Nachman. Rebbe also holds like Rav Nachman. Now, of course, Rav Nachman came well after Rebbe. So really, it's Rav Nachman holds like Rebbe, not Rebbe holds like Rav Nachman. But the Gemara just means that you can prove from a Maisa Shahoya Kachoya with Rebbe, Rav Yehuda Anasi, the halacha of Rav Nachman. What was the halacha of Rav Nachman? He said it in the name of his greater Rebbe, Rav, that the halacha is like Rebbe Yehuda. That what's the soif zman achila? The soif zman achila is 4 hours of the day. Midday Raisa, it's from the beginning of the seventh. I mean, Shei Shoy Sulamayla, the Rabbanan didn't make archok of 1 hour, the Rabbanan made archok of 2 hours. So what do you see? The Rebbe held that way. The Omar Rav in Baravada, Maisa. There was a Maisa Shahoya, Kachoya. But Adam Echad, there was a person. Shehifkid Diskia, Malaya Chametz, Eitzel Yoichanan Chakuka. He once gave as a Pikadoin 2 sacks full of chametz, and it was being watched by Yoichanan Chakukah, v'nokfu achbarim. And mice, one of the themes of the beginning of Masechtas Pesachim, came, and they made a hole in it. V'yuchametz mevatzveitz v'yoytze, and the chametz started oozing out of the sack, and it was all going to go to waste. U'balifnei Rebbe. And Yoichanan Chakukah went running to Rebbe, and he told Rebbe, "Zerv Pesach." I didn't know what to do. Like, what do I do with this now? The Gemara in the bottom of the Amid is going to get involved. What does a Shomer Pekadon do if something happens to the Pekadon and suddenly it's getting ruined? A Shomer Pekadon is not allowed to touch a Pekadon. If you touch a Pekadon and you're a Shomer Pekadon, right, there's a special halacha about you in the Torah. You're a Shaleach Yad. That's a very bad thing. Not allowed to be Shaleach Yad, but Pekadon. You're watching something, you can't touch it. You have to watch it. That's your job. You're a shomer. You're not allowed to. A shayel is allowed to, or a soicher, but ordinarily a shomer chinam, a shomer sacher, they're not allowed to touch it. So the question is, are you allowed to be shaleach yad now because it's getting ruined? So the truth is, we're going to see on the bottom of the Yomid that really the only time you'd be maybe allowed to touch it is if it's getting ruined in a way where it's mamish going to lose all its value. If it's really, really going to depreciate in value, something very bad is happening, then maybe you're allowed to get involved. And that was the shayla. So this Yid came running to Rebbe, and he asked Rebbe, "What should I do? This thing is going to waste. You know, I feel very bad." Now, to sell it wasn't such a good option either, just to speak out what's going on over here, because he wasn't going to get a lot of money for it, because the amount of time you were going to be able to eat it, right, this is before the days when Yidden sold the chametz, so you weren't going to get a lot for it, because you're going to get a few shekels, because you have 2 hours to eat it, 3 hours to eat it, you get one good meal out of it. So the question was, what was he supposed to say? So he came the first hour, Rebbe said, "Don't do anything." Shnia, then the second hour of the day, Amalei Hamten. Shlish is the third hour of the day, Amalei Hamten. Revi is fourth hour, Amalei Hamten. He said, Chamish is the fifth. Now, he says, "Now go ahead and sell it." So the Gemara says, "My love, l'nachrim ukur Rabbi Yehuda." Meaning, what's going on in this ma'isa? So the Gemara says that Rabban Bar Avada said, "I think what was going on in the story probably was is that Rebbe didn't want Yoichan Kakukah to sell it because he was going to sell it at a loss. There was no way he was going to get full value for it. He was hoping that maybe the mafkid, the person that owned this pekadon, was going to show up and give it to him to eat it." So as long as you were able to eat the chametz, he said, "Don't get rid of it yet. Maybe this guy's going to show up." But once already it came, the fourth hour, it passed. Now you're allowed to eat it anymore. Oh, so now you're not allowed to eat it. He said, "Go sell it to a guy. You can still have enough from it. It's a chapara and get something for it." Because once the fifth hour passed, now you can't even sell it. So then you're going to really lose. But the point is that from the fact that he told him that you're not allowed to eat it already, so it sounds like he must have held a Rabbi Yehuda, because otherwise he would have given him an extra hour. He would have gone out with the soif zman achila of up until the fifth hour. He would have had another hour up until the sixth hour. Why didn't the fifth hour did he tell him to sell it? You could still eat it. You have another hour. Elamai, because he can't eat it anymore. So it's a riot to Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara says, "I'm Rabbi Yosef Loi." That's not the story. Li Yisrael. Really, Rabbi held a grammar. And what he wanted him to do in that fifth hour was sell it, but sell it to a Yid. Now, what was the idea of selling it to a Yid? Because he felt that, you know, a Yid could still buy it. And as a result, you know, maybe it's kedai to sell it to a Yid. So why does he have to sell it for? Why couldn't he just eat it? Or let him buy it himself. Like, why do you have to sell it? Why didn't Rebbe tell him? Do you want it? Do you want to eat breakfast? So you just take it and pay for it yourself. So the Gemara said, "Mishum chshada," because he was worried about a chshad. He didn't want Tanya would learn to the Rebbe. Gabbait stock, if you have a gabbait stock and he has a lot of change and he wants to exchange his money, so he has a bunch of dollars and he wants to exchange it for, you know, larger bills. So the halach is parton la'acherim. You can use somebody else's money to exchange your smaller bills for larger bills, but they ain't parton la'atzman. You're not allowed to do it with yourself. Similar halacha, gabay tamchoy, if someone is a gabay of a tamchoy is like a soup kitchen. She'en l'mani l'chalik, he doesn't have any aniyim to give the food to. Meichel l'achem, you want to sell it, you could sell it, but to somebody else. Ein meichel l'atzman. You're not allowed to sell it to yourself. The reason, b'shem shenem v'yisim nekim ha'shem v'yisrael, because a person has to work on maintaining his reputation. You have to try to look good in the eyes of the Eibishta, and look good in the eyes of people as well. And if you're going to start changing it with your own money, you're going to buy the food that you're in charge of as a gabay tzedakah. You know, people are going to say, you weren't being erlich. You didn't really do it dollar for dollar. So it's going to come out that people are going to start suspecting you. That's why Rebbe, in that last hour, where he wanted to allow him to try to sell it to a yid, told him, sell it to somebody else, but you yourself can't take it for yourself. Why can't you take it for yourself? Because he was afraid that if you're going to take it for yourself, people are going to be choshed you. By the way, there's a Tshuva Chassam Sofer, we've spoken about this several times in the past, where the Chassam Sofer says that he believes V'yisim Nikiya Ma'ashem Yisrael is the hardest mitzvah in the Torah to observe. For a person to behave in a way where everybody is going to think highly of him, says it's very, very difficult. And in fact, he says, sometimes, you know, the better you are, and the bigger a chassid you are, and the more successful you are, the more people, it's kinna hamivili de sinna. And that's very often what happens. And you have more detractors. And he says that he very often wondered to himself, if it's even possible, he wonders if it's even possible, v'ulai, maybe that's what Chazal meant when they said, ki ein tzadik ba'aretz asher yasa toiv v'lo yachta. Shaykh to be a yid and never be nichshol and chilul Shabbos. You could be a yid and never eat machalos asuras. But to be mekayim ve'yisim nikiyim Hashem Yisrael tzichsam soifer and tshuva chelik vav. He says he often wondered if it's possible. And maybe that's what Shlomo HaMelech meant when he said, ke'en tzadik ba'aretz asher yasa toiv v'lo yechta. The bottom line is the Gemara thought that from this maisa shahoya kachaya with Rebbe, we have a raya that Rebbe held, like Rebbe Yehuda, because again, what was the story? There was a Shomer Pekadin, it's an elaborate story, but there was a Shomer Pekadin who was watching somebody else's chametz, and the chametz was going bad, and the question was, should he sell it on Erev Pesach at a loss just to save this guy out of, at least he'll have something out of it. And Rebbe said, the first hour, don't, second, third, fourth, after the fourth hour, he said, sell it. And the Gemara assumed he meant sell it to a guy, because if he meant that you can still eat it, then he would have pushed them off another round. Maybe the person's going to show up and he's gonna want to eat. The Gemara says, no, he didn't mean necessarily sell it to a guy. He could be meant even sell it to a yid. He wanted to give him a full hour to be able to sell it. That was the point. But the point is that that's what he was referring to. That was the Shaila on the Gemara. Either way, Amalei Rav Adar Bar Masa, Rav Yosef. So Rav Adar Bar Masa told Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef was the one who suggested that maybe Rebbe meant sell it to a yid. And he just wanted to give him a little bit of extra time, and you have no raya that Rebbe holds like Rebbe Yehuda. So Rav Adar Bar Masa told Rebbe Yosef that Beferish Amritam, we know Rebbe Yosef got his learning, and very often had he be reminded by his Talmidim of different things that he had said earlier in his life. So he said, you told us Mefurish that Rebbe said, Seyu Moichon Menachrim Ki Rebbe Yehuda. No, that Rebbe Paskin clearly like Rebbe Yehuda, and that's how he came up with that at the end of 4 hours he said, sell. The reason he said, sell, because at that point no one was allowed to eat it. The Yid wasn't allowed to eat it. You couldn't sell it to a yid, and when he meant sell it, he meant sell it to a guy. And if that's the case, we do in fact have a raya that Rebbe holds like Rebbe Yehuda. Rebbe Yosef. Rebbe Yosef said, "Kaman ozla hashmai to the Rebbe. This halacha of Rebbe must go like Rebbe Shimon ben Gamliel." Time we learned in the Mishnah. Hamavki peiros heitz chaveiro. If somebody gives peiros to his friend as a pikotan, afilu hein avudim. Even if they're going bad, like they're spoiling, they're going to get lost. Lo yigame, you're not allowed to touch them. We said earlier, not allowed to touch a pikotan. So if somebody's watching somebody else's pikotan, even if they're in the process of literally going away. It doesn't matter. You can't touch him. No, you can sell it, but in Bezin. Because otherwise the person's going to lose what chachma is there in watching somebody's pekod and not being shaleich yad and watching it pass away. Doesn't make any sense. So what do you see from here? Machlokes Shimon ben Gamliel and the Tanakama, whether in a situation where a pekodin is going bad, whether you're allowed to do something about it, you're not allowed to do something about it. Rebbe told this yid, Yoichan Chakuka, he told him at some point, he said, sell the chametz. Meaning he was telling him to be shalech, that's from Shem Gamliel Shita. Moichan the best, and the Nea Shavas Aveda. According to the Tanakhama, lo yigabahem, afil lehin avudim. So this is what Rabbi Yosef said, that another takeaway from Rebbe, meaning the first takeaway from Rebbe is, he holds like Rabbi Yehuda, as it relates to the Soif Zman, Achilas Chometz, on Erev Pesach, Midrabanan. The second takeaway from Rebbe is that he must hold like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, as it relates to a Pekadon, Amalei Abayas, Abayas Tov, Lai Itmar Allah. Didn't we learn, Amar Rabbe Bar Bachan, Rabbi Yochanan, Loi Shonu, Ela Bekdei Chisroin. The whole Machloikis, the Tanakam, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, was only if it's depreciating, But in a normal, in a usual and customary way, but if something's completely spoiling, everybody agrees that you can sell it. So therefore, over here, where it was going to be this was really going bad. So as a result, there's no shaila. Everybody would agree you're allowed to sell it. This has nothing to do with the machloikis between Rebbe and Rab Shimon ben Gamliel. So returning to the Mishnah on Daf Yud Aleph Amud Beis, the Mishnah said, "Va'oid Amar Rabbi Yehuda." Rabbi Yehuda said something else. So what does "Va'oid Amar Rabbi Yehuda" imply? That we mentioned one thing that Rabbi Yehuda said. "Va'oid Amar Rabbi Yehuda" is a second thing that Rabbi Yehuda said. So what was the first thing? Rabbi Yehuda had his chumra digesoyfs manachila, which is what we paskin like. Oichlin kol arba, v'toylin kol chametz v'sarfin b'tchilashes. You're allowed to eat chametz midirabanan, midiraisa for the first 6 hours of the day, midirabanan for the first 4 hours of the day. The fifth hour you could even have ana, and then you do sreifas chametz in the beginning of the 6 hours. For oidam Rabbi Yehuda, what was the second thing Rabbi Yehuda said? Shtei chalush al toida psulois munachos al gabi ha'itztaba. There were two chalois of a carbon toida that were pasul that they used to put on the itztaba. We'll see what that means in a minute. Kozman she munachos, as long as the two chalois were there, everyone knew that you're allowed to eat chametz. One of them was taken away. That meant now that you're in that in-between stage. It's the fifth hour where you're not allowed to eat it, but you're allowed to have ana. Meaning, when both of them were taken, that meant it's time to burn the chametz. Now you're not allowed to eat the chametz. Now you're not allowed to have ana from the chametz either. So the rest of the daf is going to focus on those three lines in the Mishnah. Number one. Va'oid amar Rabbi Yehuda, shtei chalois v'chulu. Tani Tana Kameda Rabbi Yehuda. Al Gav Ha'itztaba. So there was a Tana that said over this Mishnah in the presence of Rabbi Yehuda da Amayra, the Tana Rabbi Yehuda is the Tana mentioned in the Mishnah. But this Tana, who was really an Amayra, was saying over the Mishnah in the presence of Rabbi Yehuda the Amayra. And he said as follows. He said that where were these two chalois, psulois of the carbon taida? They were on the itztaba. And the Gemara assumes that the itztaba that he's referring to were rows of benches. We're going to see there were two rows of benches. This is actually interesting. You had literally like perenches that went around the harabais for people to sit and stand. So you had these different rows. And it sounds like it was on top of these rows. So his question was, these rows were covered. They had like some covering on top. So Amalei v'chila hatznian utzarech. So Rabbi Yehuda told us, Tana, why would they have put it on the benches? If they would have put it on the benches, no one would have been able to see it because they were covered. So if there was a covering, no one could have seen it. If no one could have seen it, so what's the point? So he switched it to Rabbi Yehuda. He said, not al gav ha'itztaba, which was the gersa in our Mishnah, but al gag ha'itztaba, on the roof of the itztaba. It was on this roof. Oh, it was on the roof. Everybody was able to see it, so it makes sense. Amar Rechava, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Harabayis stav kafel haya. The Harabayis had double rows of benches that went around. The Tainami Hochi, Harabayis stav kafel haya. Yehuda Omer, Istavanis hoisenek ras. They used to refer to it as an Istavanis. An Istavanis is a storefront. So Istavanis is a very commercial word, and that was a word that was sometimes used to refer to the Harabayis. So why would they refer to the Harabayis like a shuk or a storefront? Harabayis was Kodesh. The reason is because Stav Lefnim Mistav, because it had these double rows, which was something that storefronts often had. So you had the double rows. One row, the storekeeper, the people that were trying to, you know, peddle the merchandise on you would sit on, and the other one is where they would lay out all the schayra. So the Harabayis resembled a little bit of an istavanis, and it's for that reason people would sometimes refer to it as an istavanis. So either way, what was this istavanis all about? Why are we talking about the itztaba, the gava itztaba, the gaga itztaba? Because there was a simon in the Harabayis for yidden to know when exactly the soif zman achilas chametz is, when exactly the soif zman hanas chametz is. We mentioned when we learned the Mishnah that this is Erev Pesach. Erev Pesach, the Yidden were on the Harabayis. They're getting ready to bring the carbon Pesach. This is a very good place to have this. So what would the simadim? They had two chalois of a carbon toida that was pasul, and they would put both of them there. As long as both of them were there, it meant you're allowed to eat. Once one was taken away, it means you can't eat, but you can have ana. When the second one was taken away, it means you can't even have ana. At this point, you have to go ahead and burn it. So zok tigamar, my psulas. Why were this carbon toida, why was it pasul? And the truth is, the Gemara's kasha of my psulas isn't just why was it pasul, but the Rishonim say, why would you assume they even had a carbon toida that was pasul? Kayanim's reason, hey, Kayanim usually get it right. So why would we assume there even was a carbon toida that was pasul? So the truth is, in order to appreciate the next amid, we just have to chazer over a little bit. What was the carbon toida? What exactly was the carbon taida? So the carbon taida was a unique carbon. First of all, who brought the carbon taida? Arbat srichem lahaydais. Any person that went through some traumatic event in his life was able to give shvach haida to chaylash and esrapa. If someone was yaitzim beis asurim, he crossed the yam, he went through the midbar. So these were the chayl hachayim yodu chasela. Chayim is the Rosh Tevis, the Shulchan Aruch says of the arbat that had srichem lahaydais. There were four people that had srichem lahaydais. They brought a special carbon. It was a carbon taida. Now the carbon taida was unique in a few ways. Number one, the carbon taida was a shlamim, which means it was kachem kalim. Kachem kalim can usually be eaten for 2 days and a night. This is only gay that. Usually be eaten for 2 days and a night. The carbon taida was only eaten for 1 day and a night. Kachi kadoshim was eaten for a day and a night. Kachem kalim always 2 days. So the taida, even though it was kachem kalim, but in a way it was treated like kachi kadoshim. Can't be eaten for 2 days and a night. It can only be eaten for 1 day and a night. That's number one. Number two, the carbon taida was extremely unique in that it was brought together with breads. Breads? The carbon taida had bread that was brought with it. So you had the animal, the shlamim, but in addition to the animal, you had to bring bread. How many? 40. It was four types. Each one was made up of 10. 4 times 10, back of the envelope arithmetic, it was 40. Of those 40, 30 of them were matzah, and 10 of them were chametz. Now, the way the breads got their kedusha, the breads had kedusha as if they were a carbon, even though the breads weren't a carbon, but they had kedusha, they were eaten. But they had kedusha as if they were a carbon. What gave the breads their kedusha as a carbon? When the carbon part was brought, when the shechita was done with the shlamim, when the zrika was done, right, the avdalat avodas adam was done with the carbon, so that somehow triggered some kedusha that descended upon the chalos, and now the chalos suddenly became kaddish. Either way, we took breads of the toida, but not just any toida, a toida that was pasul. So again, the question is, why pasul? But more, not why pasul, but rather, why do we assume that there were breads of a carbon taida that was pasul? It wasn't so frequent that you would have karbonis psulim in the Beis HaMikdash. So why are we assuming suddenly that you have these karbonis that are pasul, and that's what we use? The reason is because there were so many karbonis taida that were brought the day before, and it's for that reason there was so much nicer. And because there was so much nicer, that's why you ended up having breads that were pasul. What does nicer mean? If you don't eat a carbon at the time that you're supposed to eat the carbon, meaning once the time passes, it becomes pasul. There was so many karbonos toida that had to be eaten in such a short period of time, because all you have is a day and a night, that inevitably there was so much nicer, and that's why you had all these karbonos that were pasul. The Tanya, what's the background of this? You're not allowed to bring a carbon toida on Pesach, because part of the toida were breads, 40, 10 of them were chametz. So how could you bring it? Pshita, so the Gemara says, you need a brisa to tell me that, obviously. Well, what would be the havamina? You could bring chametz. No, the chiddush is that even on the 14th day of Nisan, you can't bring it. Because sovereign, the reason is because aim of being kachem the base absol. Meaning, really, on Erev Pesach, why should you be able to bring a carbon taida? You're allowed to eat chametz until Sheisha is ulamayla. Even with the Rabbanon, you want to back it up an hour? Rabbi Yehuda, 2 hours. Okay, you have 4 hours to eat it. What should be the problem? The reason is because there's halacha aim of being kachem the base absol. You're not allowed to bring a kachem in a way that there's a chance that you are going to limit the amount of time that you have to eat this kachem. As a result, you're increasing the statistical chances that maybe this kachem is going to end up being pasul. That's something that you are not allowed to do. And it's for that reason that the halacha is that you're not allowed to bring the carbon Pesach, the carbon toida, not only on Pesach, but even on Erev Pesach. Because if you're going to bring it Erev Pesach, you bring it in the morning, all karbanas had to be done during the day. So you're going to bring it in the morning, you're going to have a few hours to eat it, a few hours. You're supposed to have a day and a night. So you're limiting the amount of time that you have to eat it, which means you're increasing the chances of it becoming pasul. So there's halacha of emavim kachal beisav. So what's the bottom line? You couldn't bring the toid on Pesach. You couldn't even bring it on Erev Pesach. Says the Gemara, if that's the case, for kuliyam b'shalosh asam ma'isilu. So inevitably, when did everybody bring the carbon toida? Anyone that had an obligation to bring a carbon toida, they would have brought it on the 13th. And again, just to appreciate this again, most Yidden didn't live in Yerushalayim. So if a Yid didn't live in Yerushalayim, he had to bring a carbon. When did he bring the carbon? When he came to Yerushalayim. That's when the Olam came to be Olam Rega. It was, there were carbonas flying all over the place. Because if people had obligations to bring carbonas for whatever reason, yeah, you're a Ledes, you're a Mechvesh, whatever the reason is, you have an obligation now to bring a carbon. So people would usually bring the carbon when they came to be Olam Rega. That was the time that it just made sense. It was very practical. You're going up to Eretz Yisrael 3 times a year. That's when you bring it. So any person that went on a business trip and now he's arba tzrichim lahoydes, so he has to bring his carbon tithe. So he couldn't bring it on Pesach. He couldn't even bring it on Erev Pesach. So when did they bring the brewer? On the 13th day. And so there was so many carbonis tithe that were brought on the 13th. Nifsalas belina. There wasn't enough people to eat all these breads. So he ended up having pasul bread. And being they had pasul bread, that's why they did what they did. Now, we just explained why they had pasul bread. Why did we use pasul bread? So Rashi says, that's easy. Why would you use non-pasul bread? Because at the end of the day, this bread, you're leaving it around until the Seif Zman Achila. That's what it's... When are you going to get rid of it? When you can't eat it anymore. So inevitably, you're creating a situation where you're going to be a dayan, taking a kachim that's supposed to be eaten, and doing something that's going to say you can't eat it. So if it's pasul anyways, okay, gaval. But if it's not pasul, then it's a bad thing, and that's why they used to use... So why they use pasul? That's easy. Why would you use kasha? Why go be a dayan and create kachim, which is kosher, and do something to it that you won't be able to eat it? How did they have the pasul? I koyhanim's reasoning, the teretz is, the toida was unique because you couldn't bring the toida on Pesach. You also couldn't bring it on Erev Pesach. Shum Rabbi Yanai Amru, Rabbi Yanai said something else. Ksheiris hayu, lav dafka did they use pasul kar toida. Rather, they sometimes would use even a toida that was kosher. What kind of toida that was kosher? Meaning, and not just that, v'la mai karulu psulais. Why did the Mishnah refer to it as psulais? If really they use something that was kosher sometimes, the Mishnah says psulais. It means shalom nishchad aleim azevach. No, sometimes they would use the breads of a toida of which they didn't shech the carbon yet. If they didn't shech the carbon yet, so the breads don't really have that much kedusha. Now, not to get too technical, but the breads of the toida before the shechit of the shlamim has kedusha's damim. Once you shech the shlamim, it gets the kedusha of a carbon, which is kedusha zaguf. It's very different. Kedusha zdomim, you can redeem, you can be paid, you can transfer the kedusha onto something else. Kedusha zaguf, you can't. But the point is that until they shechted the zevach, so it didn't have yet any kedusha zaguf. It didn't have kedusha zaguf, so we look at that as being psulis, and that's what they would use. Freit gemara v'nishchay. I understand. Why wouldn't they just shecht it? Meaning we're purposely using something that's, we feel is better to use. Something that we're not going to be pushing away. We're not taking good mahajim and amahajim kachim and doing something to it. So what are we going to do? We're going to take the breads of a toida that we didn't shecht it. But if you could shecht it, then you're vital to doing the same thing because you're pushing it away via dayim by not shechting it. So the Gemara says, Sha'avat azevach. No, if they had a situation where there was a carbon that was lost, and being that it was lost, so they didn't have the option to shecht it anymore. It didn't have kedusha zaguf. That's also something that they would use. The nice zevach achav and nishchot. You're still pushing it away because why couldn't you bring a new animal and shecht that one? So the Gemara says, "Amar zu toida v'zulach." It's talking about where the person already designated this bread to this carbon. Okay, the rabbit, Amar rabbi said, "Avad alechem." If someone had a carbon toida, you have the animal and you have the breads. If the bread gets lost, maybe lechem achar. You could replace the bread of the toida. If the carbon got lost, a maybe toida acheres. You can't replace the carbon. My time, the lechem glal toida, because the lechem is secondary to the carbon. The entire glal lechem, but the carbon is not secondary to the bread. So you could replace the bread. You can't replace the animal. Either way, said Rav Yana, that sometimes what they would do is they would just, instead of using a toida that was possible, I mean, if in the mission it sounds like you had to use a toida that was possible. Otherwise, we're not doing this. The Rav Yana said it didn't have to be a toida that was possible. If you had a toida that was kosher, but you never shechted the carbon, and the carbon was also, it doesn't look like you're going to shecht the carbon. So being that it doesn't have kedusha zaguf, that's also something that you can use. But the Gemara says, the nifrikinu, the nifkinu luchulin, this is also not such a good option. Because at the end of the day, you could be paid it. Because until you shech the animal, even though the breads have kedusha, they have kedushas damim, not kedushas aguf. So shouldn't you be able to be paid it? Elas, the Gemara says like this. It's talking about, meaning what they would do is they would take the breads of a toida where they shechted the carbon already. However, v'nishpach adam, but the blood spilled, meaning if Maisa Shahaya Kach Toya, they did a Shechita, and now you don't have the dam anymore, you have the breads. At this point, you can't be poided because you already did the Shechita. It's not Mamish Pasul, because it wasn't like Nifsal Balina, but at the same time, it's like it's Pasul. And as a result, this is what they would sometimes use. I mean, it didn't have to be dafka breads that were pasul. They can use this as well. So the Gemara, come on, this teretz only works k'Rebbe, according to Rebbe. Oh, my Rebbe, Rebbe said, shnei dvarim ha-matirim mailin zebeloizah. The two things that are matter, the breads of a carbon, are matter, even if you do one without the other. The Tanya, the context over there, was not the carbon toido, but rather it was the kifsei atzeret. So there was another carbon that was brought together with bread. And that is the special carbon that was brought on Shavuos. There were two kvasim, they were both karbanish shlamim. This is the only karban shlamim that was a karban zibur, was brought on shvuas, and it was brought together with breads as well. And he had the same relationship between karban and breads with the kifsei atzeres as you do with the karban toidim. Meaning, when you shech the kifsei atzeres, it gives kedusha to the breads. You do the zrik on the kifsei atzeres, it gives kedusha to the breads. So what is it saying that brisa as it relates to kifsei atzeres? Emikachanas alecha el b'shchita. The way the lechem got kedusha was with the shchita. Keitzat shachtam l'shmam zarktam l'shman. If you did a proper shchita, you did a proper zrik. You mean you had the right kavanas kiddush alecha. The bread became kaddish. If you did the shchita shalay l'shma, you did the zrika shalay l'shma, like kiddush alechem, then the bread didn't get any kedusha because you didn't do a good shchita, you didn't do a good zrika. Shachtan l'shma bazarik dam shalay l'shma. If you did the shchita properly, but you did the zrika shalay l'shma, kaddish ve'ena kaddish devei Rebbe. So Rebbe said the bread's got kedusha, not 100% kedusha, but it got some kedusha zagov. Rebbe Loz, Rebbe Shimon Oimer, Rebbe Loz, Rebbe Shimon said loy l'meina kaddish alechem. The bread don't get kedusha at sheyichshtan l'shma until you do a good shchita, the yizrik l'shma, and you do a good zrika. But the bottom line is, it says the Gemara, so according to Rebbe, if you do a good shchita, even if you don't do a good zrika, that's enough to give kedusha to the lechem. Now Rebbe said it regarding the kifsei atzeres, but the same the Gemara assumes will be true with regards to the karban toida. So if that's the case, so you see it already gets kedusha. Once it gets kedusha, you can't be poided anymore. If you can't be poided anymore, see, even though the breads aren't technically not possible because nothing happened to the breads, but you can't use them. You can't be poyed to them, so this would be a good candidate for you to be able to use for these two breads that we use. So the Gemara says that this teretz, this long-winded teretz that Rabbi Yannai said, that lav dafka did they use breads that were possible enough, but could be they just use breads that have don't have the proper kedusha saguf, is going to work according to Rabbi. What was the hechitimsa that the Gemara came up with? It's talking about when you shechted it already, but you didn't do a zrika. If you're telling me it has kedusha saguf, it's really tali l'chayr in the machleik is Rabbi and Rav Elazar Rabbi Shimon. According to Rabbi, just doing shechita gives a kedusha saguf, at which point, now the toida, you can't be poid anymore, so it makes sense you should be able to use it. But according to Rav Elazar Rabbi Shimon, if it doesn't have kedusha saguf, you could be poid it. So if you could be poid it, where do you see Rav Elazar Rabbi Shimon? Because Rav Elazar Rabbi Shimon says you need the shechita and the zrika, shachal l'shma and zrika l'shma in order for it to have kedusha zagov. So if you don't have a good zrika, you can't be paid. So in other words, Rabbi Yannai's teretz only works according to Blas Reb Shimon, but the Gemara says no. I'll tell you, I feel a tame Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. Maybe Rabbi Yannai's teretz is true, even according to Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. This is Kachem 101. It's talking about where you already did a Kabbalah. What happened was the dam spilled after the Kabbalah. For Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon maybe holds like his father, the Amar who said, "Kol oimid lizrik gazarik dami." That anything that's oimid lizrik is gazarik dami. That if you have dam that you were makabel already in a klisharis, even though you didn't do zrika, it's as if you did the zrika. Rabbi Shimon holds all the kol oimids are as if it happened already. It's a bunch of Rabbi Shimon's in Shas. That if the potential, right, the potential of something is looked as if it already happened. So if you're oimid lizrik, it's already gazarik dami. In other words, this teretz could work even according to Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, because although Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon holds you need to do a zrika in order to give the breads kedusha zagof, if you do a kabbalah, it's as if you did a zrika. That's the point. It's as if you did a zrika. I mean that it's as if you did a zrika, so it's going to work either way. So what did they do in the Beis Hamikdash? They wanted on the Harabayis, the Eilish, you know, when the Seif's Man Achil is, when the Seif's Man Hanoi is, they would take two breads from the Karban Toida that were pasul. They would put it on, not al gavo itzba, but al gago itzba. Everybody could see it. As long as both breads were there, you could eat chametz. When one bread was there, you can't eat it, but you could have anah from it. When no breads were there, it's over. Now you have to start burning your chametz. But they used dafka breads that were pasul. Why not breads that were kosher? Because you're going to leave it there until the Seif's Man Achil means no one's going to ever eat it. So you literally be a dayim doing something to make it that you have kachem that's going to go to waste. We can't do that. So what did we take? We took pasul. What is the definition of pasul? So we have two definitions. The first definition was Reb Chanina. Reb Chanina said it was physically pasul, pasulina. Why would you assume you had breads that were pasulina? Oh, it's very shriach. Because all the toidas were brought on Yud Gimel Nisan. So if all the toidas were brought on Yud Gimel Nisan, so it makes perfect sense why you had all these pasul toidas on your dad. They didn't have enough people and enough time to eat it, because you can only eat toida for a day and a night. So there was so much, that's what they use. Rabbi Yannai says, no, lav dafka, that, of course you can use that if you had that. It doesn't have to be that. Even if it was bread that had kedushas aguf, but there was an issue with it, not to the point where you could eat it. What would be an example? You did a shechita, then you did a kabbalah, and then it was nishmach adam. You didn't do the zrika, which is ultimately matter the bread's lachil. Bottom line is, well, you put a whole case in kachin of how to make it work, that would also be considered psula. So one postscript to this Gemara, and then we'll speak out raid. Tana Mishum Rabbi Elazar Amru. Ksheris, they used to use even ksheris. Didn't have to be psulais. Okay. Kol zman shemunaches, as long as it was there, kolam oichlin, everyone could eat it. Nitlach, and one of them was removed, toilin, which means, like, sorry, you couldn't eat, you couldn't have, I know. Or you didn't burn it. Nitlushtam, When both were removed, the schilu kulam sarfin, then everybody started burning. Tanya b'shalaymer, he had even a different nosach. Shtei parus hayu charshes bara mishcha. Not two breads, nothing to do with a toida, nothing to do with shlishma and shalay lishma. This is not zvachim 101, it's not menachis 101. There were tzvai kiyin, there were two parois, they were akering on hara mishcha, also known as hara zesim. Kol zman shesteim chosho, it's as long as there were two cows. Imagine, you're looking up, do you see the cows plowing in the field? Kol ha-moichlin, you know you could still eat. Nit la-achasim, when you only see one cow? When both cows were removed, at that point, everyone knew that it's already Saif's manachila, it's time to burn the chametz. So just two ha'aris, lighter ha'aris, as it relates to today's daf. The first ha'aris is, the Gemara said on Amid Aleph, Amru loy, kfar muftach lehem liyisrael, she'en aliyo ba, loy ba'arve shabasois, v'loy ba'arve yomim toivim, mipnei ha'tayrach. Klal Yisrael has a haftacha that Eliyahu HaNavi is not going to come on an Erev Shabbos and he's not going to come on an Erev Yontif either. Why not? Because Erev Shabbos, Erev Yontif, Yidin are busy. They're busy preparing for Shabbos. And being that they're busy preparing for Shabbos, Mashiach can't come. What do you mean? Well, what are you going to do? You're in the kitchen, you're buying, you're preparing. Misha Tarach Be'erev Shabbos, Yoichel B'Shabbos. Misha Loi Tarach Be'erev Shabbos, Yoichel B'Shabbos. And as a result, Eliyahu HaNavi can't come on an Erev Shabbos. If it's bothering you, you can take a look in the Kovet Shiur. Rabbi Chanan asks all the obvious questions. He says, I don't understand. First of all, sometimes you're allowed to fast on Shabbos. Right? If someone has a bad dream, so you can fast a Tainus Chaloyim on Shabbos. What's the tikkun? Then you misana tainus latanisoy. But there's an idea of fasting on Shabbos, but you have it. Meaning, as much as you have to prepare for Shabbos like this, you'll be able to eat on Shabbos, but it's not the end of the world. He said, besides, Eliyahu HaNavi is going to show up. Don't you think it's Pekuach Nefesh? Eliyahu HaNavi is going to be Mevasib, Psuris, Toivis, Yeshuas, and Nechamas. All the Yeshuas are going to come when Eliyahu HaNavi comes. You would think this is Pekuach Nefesh. So if that's the case, why can Eliyahu HaNavi come on an Erev Shabbos? Ayin Bekoivichu and Rabbi Chanan, Vasim and Hashem, Yimkom Domai. He asks these kashas right here. But either way, that's what Gemara says. That Eliyahu HaNavi can come on an Erev Shabbos. Truth is, if this Gemara sounds familiar, it's because we learned this Gemara together as a chaburah not so long ago. Erevin daf mem gimel amid beis. And the Gemara over there says that not only Eliyahu Navi won't come on an Erev Shabbos, but Eliyahu Navi is not going to come on Shabbos either. Why wouldn't he come on Shabbos? Because it's chutzot chum. And the Gemara makes a tali in the sugya of yesh tchum and lamayla me'asara, or yein tchum and lamayla me'asara, one of the most epic sugyas in Shas. But that's all Erevin daf mem gimel. But here's the rest of the story. The Shulchan Aruch in Simen Reish Tzadikei, Sivkot Na'alif says, Zokter Amah, V'nagu loymer ulahasker Eliyahu HaNavi b'maitzah Shabbos. The Midrash Klal Yisrael is that you say Eliyahu HaNavi, Eliyahu HaTishbe, Eliyahu HaGiladi, right? You say a piyut, referred to as the piyut of Eliyahu HaNavi b'maitzah Shabbos. Why? L'hispala, it's a tefillah, sheyavoy v'yabasrenu ha'gu'ula. With Davin Eliyahu HaNavi should come, he should arrive, and he should be Mevasser. He should be Mevasser the Gula, says the Magen Avraham. Why do we say this Tfilah Dafka on Matzah Shabbos? Why Matzah Shabbos? Says Magen Avraham, I quote, She'en Eliyahu Bab Erev Shabbos. The reason is because Eliyahu HaNavi is not going to come on Erev Shabbos. V'gam Baya B'Shas Em Yesh Tchum L'mayel Me'asar. And we know to Shailon the Gemara, there's a strong tzad that Eliyahu HaNavi is not going to come on Shabbos either. Because maybe Yesh Tchum L'mayel Me'asar and it's going to be Chutz L'Tchum. Im Kein, Dilma Lachi Yesh Tchum V'Leyavi B'Shabbos. L'chein Oimrim B'Maitzoy Shabbos. That's why we say Amatzoy Shabbos Eliyahu HaNavi L'espalo She'yavoy V'yavasrenu Ha'gu'ula. Because Eliyahu HaNavi can't come on an Erev Shabbos and Eliyahu HaNavi can't come on Shabbos. So there were 2 days where it wasn't possible for Eliyahu HaNavi to come. So now it's Matzah Shabbos. Now it's already possible that Eliyahu HaNavi is going to come. So now we're mispalel Eliyahu HaNavi. What's the idea of that tefillah? It's a tefillah sheyispalel v'yivasrenu ha'gu'ula. So I'll tell you something very interesting. Shabbos on Mincha, Shabbos by Mincha, so right before we take out the Sefer Torah, right before by Ibn Tzoya Aray, so we say one pasuk, v'anisefi lasi l'cha Hashem es ratzon, Elokim berav chasdecha aneni ve'emes yishecha. Vanis filasi l'cha Hashem es ratzon. Return to the Eibush. It's a Shabbos mincha. I'm davening to you, and it should be an es ratzon. Elokim berav chasdecha aneni ve'emes yishecha. With your tremendous chesed, please aneni ve'emes yishecha. Rabbi Yaakov Emden in his siddur on this pasuk, Vanis filasi l'cha Hashem es ratzon. Elokim berav chasdecha aneni ve'emes yishecha. Says, why do we say this dafka on Shabbos, and why dafka Shabbos on mincha? So he says, quoting a sefer called Likutei Pardes. Sounds like Kabbalah. But quoting a sefer called Likutei Pardes. V'zel v'shoynoi. Lama oimer b'shabes b'mincha v'anis filasi. B'shvil. She'tzora achroina b'ikvei ha'keitz. The tzara achroina, that's going to be ba'achras hayom, the last tzara Klai Yisrael is going to have, he says v'chulu, so I have no way of finding the missing words, yom Shabbos here is going to be on Shabbos. V'chol hayom tiyah tzara. And that last Shabbos, the last Shabbos, is going to be a day of tzara. Ad es ha-mincha, until mincha. V'oz Yisrael, the Yidden are going to daven mincha, and they're going to be nene b'mincha. And that tefillah is going to be answered. U'miyad yovei Mashiach. And Mashiach is going to come. Hado dechsiv be'es rotzayn in Yisicha, quoting Yeshaya Perek Memtes, said Rabbi Yaakov Emden, he saw in the Sefer Lukutei Pardes that says that, you know, Mashiach is going to come. Eliyahu Navi is going to come to me mevaseh b'suras toivis. It's going to happen on Shabbos. You know when it's on Shabbos? It's going to happen mincha time. That Shabbos is going to be in a sarah, and the Yidden are going to daven, and Hashem's going to answer the tefillah, like Eliyahu Navi was like, nena ela b'tefillas ha-mincha. The Yidden are going to be answered, and as a result, that's going to usher in the coming of Mashiach. And that's what we mean when we say, v'anis filosi l'cha Hashem Yisrotzen, that mincha on Shabbos is a gewaldig Yisrotzen. Because it's going to be in the schus of the tefillah of Shabbos mincha that ultimately Eliyahu Navi is going to come. And that's the tifkeit of Anis Tfilosi L'cha Hashem Yisrotzen Elikim Berov Chazdecha Anenus Bemis Yishachav. Says Rabbi Yaakov Emden, you're going to ask me a kasha. I thought Ein Eliyahu Navi Ba B'Shabbos. Doesn't come in Erev Shabbos, doesn't come in Shabbos. So Ayin Shom, he explains by Richos, he goes through, he quotes our Gemara and he quotes the Gemara in Pesachim where he says Apshat. But the bottom line is, not the pilpul. The bottom line is the Lakute Paradis, as quoted by Rabbi Yaakov Emden in the Siddur Yaivit says, is that the reason we say Shabbos Mincha Vanis Filosi L'cha Hashem Eis Ratzin is because Tfilas HaMincha is always an Eis Ratzin, right? Mincha is always an Eis Ratzin. But this is going to be a special Eis Ratzin. Why is it a special Eis Ratzin? Because this is the Tfilah that is going to usher in the coming of Mashiach, because the Shabbos is going to be a Tzorah, and when a Yid davens Shabbos Mincha, he has a special Koyach. That's Vanis Filosi L'cha Hashem Eis Ratzen. That's the Oymik. That's what it means when we say that. As it relates to Elio, Loinena, Elo, yeah, we'll skip. Next Reb Bite. Next Dara. And that is, we mentioned on Amid Beis that the Gemara says that the Karban Toida wasn't born on Pesach, and the Karban Toida wasn't born on Erev Pesach either. So the Karban Toida wasn't born on Pesach, it wasn't brought on Erev Pesach, which posed a little bit of an issue, because Yidden came to be Oyle Regel after a whole winter, Arba Tzrichim Lahoidois. So you had a Yid that was a Chaylosh and a Srapa, he wanted to bring a Karban Toida. You had another Yid that went away, and he came back on a ship, or he crossed through a Midbar, maybe just arriving to Eretz Yisrael. He had to go over a Yam and cross over a Midbar, and he wants to bring this Karban Toida. So it wasn't Shaykh, however, to bring the Karban Toida, not on Shabbos, and not on Pesach, and it wasn't Shaykh to bring on an Erev Pesach either. And the reason is because the Karban Toida had chametz. I mean, that had chametz. Chametz is something that's also on Pesach. And even though Erev Pesach technically is a few hours in the morning where you could bring the Karban Toida, you could eat the chametz, however, and being you only have a few hours to eat it, so there's a good chance that you won't be able to finish all 40, it's a lot of bread. So 10 of them are chametz. So there's a good chance that you may not have the opportunity to finish it. And it's for that reason that Chazal said, don't eat the Karban, don't bring a Karban Toida on Erev. So when did they bring the Karban Pesach? They brought it all on Yud Gimel. So much so that the Gemara says that's Pshat in the Mishnah that they had Toidos Psulos on Erev Pesach. What's the reason? It was inevitable. Mitoich Shehen Merubos, being that there were so many Nefsoles Belina. Inevitably, you ended up having Toidos that were possible. So it's interesting. Yud Gimel Nisan seems like it was a very special day. That was the day they used to bring the Karban Toida. That was the day. So what was happening in the Beis HaMikdash on Yud Gimel Nisan? The Yidden were there and they were bringing Karbanos Toida. Yudal, they brought the Karban Pesach. Then you had the whole Pesach. But on Yud Gimel, they brought the Karban Toida. So I was thinking, maybe that's the answer to the riddle. The Kasha that the Magen Avram and the Chassam Sofer that everybody's bothered by. And that is, we don't say Tachnun Chodesh Nisan. Why don't we say Tachnun Chodesh Nisan? Because being that we don't say Tachnun Roiv of Chodesh Nisan, once it's Yotzer Roiv of Chodesh, without the Kedusha, without saying Tachnun, so we're done. And the Kasha is not true, you don't have Roiv of the Chodesh. The first 12 days you don't say because of the Nesin. Yud Dalet Zerv Pesach, and then you have Pesach. Then already you're done. You have Roiv Chodesh. But Yud Gimel, what about Yud Gimel, right? That's the Kasha. We spoke out in that introduction, or on Daf Beis, the Chassam Sofer. Right, we spoke at all the rain. But I was thinking, if all the Yidden were bringing Karbanos Toida, you bring a Karban Toida, so you would think that maybe they didn't say Tachnun. Maybe Yud Gimel was a Karban because all the Yidden were bringing Karbanos Toida. But that's an aside. I was just thinking one Ha'ara. And that is that You would think if there's one yontif that a yud should bring a carbon toida, what would that yontif be? You would think that that yontif should dafka be Pesach, right? Pesach is all about the fichach anachnu chayavim lahoidos. It's vihigada telavincha. It's CPT, it's a triumph. It's thanking the Kodesh Baruch for all the tremendous nisim. Dayenu, dayenu, dayenu. Right, that's what we're doing. So if that's the case, what's the pshat in the pnimiyas ha-Torah? On Sukkot you can bring a carbon taida. On Shavuos you can bring a carbon taida. The whole year you can bring a carbon taida. You can't bring a carbon taida. After Pesach you can't bring a carbon taida. You would think there's no carbon that's more matim with the carbon taida than Pesach, right? They go together so nicely. So what's the pshat in the machshava? In the, of course, the technical reason is because there's chametz. You can't bring chametz, but nothing's technical. So at the end of the day, in the pnimiyas ha-Torah, there's no technicalities. Everything has a reason. So the question is, why is it in the pnimiyas that you couldn't bring the carbon toida on Pesach? So I was thinking that maybe the pshat's like this. We mentioned earlier in the week, we spoke about why is it that when it comes to Pesach, we find not only you're not allowed to eat chametz on Pesach, you're not allowed to have chametz on Pesach, but you roh, but you matzeh, you have the mitzvah that say of tashbisu, then you have bittul, and then you have bedika, right? There's layer on top of layer on top of layer. What's the pshat? So we mentioned what the Chassam Sofer said over in the name of his Rebbe, Reb Nosson Adler. We spoke from the Shailos Tshuvas Min HaShamayim, Havan, Chiba, and that's why you find all these chumras. But the truth is that this is a shaila that was posed to the Radvaz. The Radvaz. As in the Radvaz, the Kadmon. And he was asked this question. And he was asked, that why is it that you find all these chumras when it comes to Pesach? So he brings a whole bunch of theories, the Ran, and Toisvis, Rav Nosson Adler's Pshat, Ayin Shom. He says a lot of that. This is in Chela Gimel, by the way. Tough Kuf Ayin Zayin, 977. Says the Radvaz, Mikom Makar. At the end of the day, I think it's very, very hard to understand Pasha Pshat. I think you have to come on to a medrash. So this is a rishon kemat quoting a medrash to say pshat in psukim in the Torah and basic halachas. Ki chametz be Pesach remez liyetzahara. The chametz on Pesach is a remez to the yetzahara. V'usar shebe isa. It's the sar shebe isa. V'lechein kalei garish yigarish oseya adam eyalav. You have to get rid of it. V'yichapei sala b'chol machbuois machshavoisav. V'afilu kol shu loy batal. Says Rav Vaz, you want to know why there's a mitzvah to make sure you don't even have a mashu of chametz? You have to go through all this because at the end of the day, the chametz really symbolizes the Yetzer Hara. And on Pesach, every yid has to go and he has to get rid of his Yetzer Hara. He has to uproot it, and even a little bit, a shminah sheva shminas, a miyuta de miyuta. Even that's something you have to get rid of. And it's for that reason we have a mitzvah to go ahead and to get rid of the chametz. I saw in Rav Meilich Biderman's Haggadah, he says that. He heard from Svarim HaKadoshim that that's why the Seder is called the Seder. He says, why is it called the Seder? He says, because we know the Torah can be understood on four levels. Pardes, Pshat, Remez, Drush, and Soid. He said, but on Pesach, Pesach is all about Pnimiyas HaTorah. Pesach is very hard to understand Al-Pi Pshat. He brings this Radvaz. The Radvaz said that even Bayurah and Bayumatzeh and Tashbisu and Bittul and Bedika and all the basic halachas about Pesach, you can't understand Al-Derech Pshat. If that's the case, you can only understand it with the other three Mahalchim. What's the other three? It's Seder. It's Soid, Drush, and Remez. Usually the Torah is Pardes. It's Pshat, Remez, Drush, and Soid. But on Pesach, it's Seder. It's Soid, Drush, and Remez. Because on Pesach, even to understand the Pshut HaYishol Mikro, you have to come out to the Pnimiyas. So what's the Pnimiyas HaTorah of Pesach? The Pnimiyas HaTorah is that the Chametz represents the Yetzer Hara. The Sar Shebe Issa, based on a Gemara and Brachas Taf Yitzayin of an Aleph. So if that's the Sar Shebe Issa, on Pesach, you have to get rid of it. There's Bayurah, there's Bayumatze. You even have the mitzvahs Aseh of Tashbis. So with that Hakdom. Frank the Ramah, in his Sefer Torah Sa'ayla, so we often quote the Sefer Torah Sa'ayla, the Ramah wrote a Sefer called Teres HaChatas, which is well known. Teres HaChatas is on Taruvis Yerideh. If you learn Yerideh, Basav Chalev, you can't make a move without the Sefer Torah Sa'achatas, which was penned by the Ramah. But what's lesser known is that the Ramah also wrote a Sefer called Teres HaOyla. And Teres HaOyla is Al Derech HaMachshava, Al Derech Kabbalah, Al Derech Pnimiyas HaTorah, and it's written about the Karbonos and the Tameh of different Avodas that were done in the Beis HaMikdash. Either way, in the Sefer Teres HaOyla, in Perek 38, says the Ramah, that what's the pshat that the Karbon Toida had Chametz? Chametz is always the mashal of the Yetzer Hara. It's the Sar Shebe Isna. A Yid just had this unbelievable thing happen to him. And he decided that he wants to go to the Beis HaMikdash. He has such a karas hatoiv. He's going to bring a carbon. Think of the biggest Suda Saida you've ever been to. This is a carbon toida with Kayhanim, Bavidasam, Veluvim, Bashirim, Vizirim. This is this beautiful sight. That's what a carbon toida is. And Dafka, the carbon toida, has chametz. He says, how could a carbon toida have chametz? And the Ramah says, a dover noira. You know what he says? He says, when a yid makes a Suda Saida, when a yid gives Shvach Vaida to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when something good happens to someone, he says, Moidim Amor Kavana, it's Gevaldik. Wow, he's giving Adat to Rebish. Of course it is. There's no question that it is. It's an unbelievable thing. But at the same time, says the Ramah, it's not perfect. You know why it's not perfect? Because this person is almost suggesting that this is something I have to give HaKadosh Baruch Hu Adat for. But all the other things that happen in my life, no. Maybe not. Maybe it's not so good. Maybe Hashem didn't have so much to do with it. So says the Ramah, when a yid gives haidah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's gewaldig. It's roiv good. And that's why of the 40 breads, 30 of them are matzah. Because matzah is kedusha. Matzah is yetzer tov. And it's 75% kadosh. But it's 25% of the 40 breads, 10 of them are chametz. Because at the end of the day, it's dashtikli yetzahara. That's what's going on over here. Because at the end of the day, the yetzahara got a hold of this person. Because otherwise, why is he only giving haidah for what happened? He should be giving haidah for everything. He should be giving shvach haidah for every single thing that happens in his life. So says the Ramah, you want to know why someone that's bringing a carbon toida had to bring chametz. The chametz is the yetzahara. His lashon is, hine carbon toida hayuba kineget kata beninim. It's a davar beinoni. That's what it is. Why? Because at the end of the day, kibiyos kain who derech habeinoni lahoydes l'Hashem ala toive shagmalai levarich ala toive v'loy levarich ala ra al kain ba carbon toide neged habeinonim. Because this person that's bringing the carbon toide is ashtikal habeinoni. The end of the day, it's not perfect because l'maisa he's giving haidah for the good thing, but somehow he's ignoring everything else that happens as if maybe that's not good or as if maybe that's not so important. So I was thinking, what's the tachlis of Pesach? You know, we're learning Masechtas Pesachim now. And perhaps the most important maramakim in the machshava of Pesach is the Ramban and the end of Parashas Bo. And we don't have time to go through it right now, and hopefully in the course of the Masechta, we'll revisit the Ramban. But everyone knows the Ramban. But the Ramban says that the reason there's so many mitzvahs that we have that are Zeichel Yetzias Mitzrayim is because there's nothing more important, there's nothing more fundamental than Yetzias Mitzrayim. The reason is, not because of Yetzias Mitzrayim per se, but because of the lesson that every single year is supposed to take out of Yetzias Mitzrayim. What's the lesson of Yetzias Mitzrayim? HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu calls all the shots. And he micromanages every single aspect of a yid. That's the way it is. Different levels of hashkacha for Yehudim and Eina Yehudim. Ki yodua b'svar makdoshim. But the bottom line is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is boirei umanig l'chol ha'beru. V'hu levadei osa v'oisa v'yasa l'chol ha'masim. How did that come about from Mitzrayim? Where did we see on Mitzrayim that that's the way it is? So I quote the Ramban. U'min anisim ha'gdoilim ha'mefursamim. Because when a person sees a big miracle, a famous miracle, God split the sea, that's famous. Right? He comes to recognize in the Nisim HaNistarim, in the hidden miracles. Shehem Yisoida Torah Kula. Shehem Lo Adam Chelik B'Torah Moshe Rabbeinu Ad Sheyamin. Shekol Dvareinu Umikreinu Kulam Nisim. Ein Bahem Teva Min Hogu Shaloylam. Bein B'Ram and Bein B'Yachid. It doesn't matter. Something happens to the Ram, something happens to the Yachid. Every single thing that happens to a Yid is a miracle. No such thing as nature. How do you know there's no such thing as nature? Where does that come from? It comes from Yetzias Mitzrayim because mitoich min anisim agdoilam amefursamim adamoyde benisim anestarim. The idea of Pesach isn't simply to remember something that happened 3,300 years ago. That's part of it. Of course, dayenu lefichach anachnu chayavim lahoidos. We drink four cups of wine, which is related to haidah as well. Of course, that's part of it. But that's not the punchline. Pesach is not Thanksgiving Day. It's not a seven-day Thanksgiving. That's not what it is. It's not what it is. A mistake. I think if you ask the man on the street, say, what's Pesach all that? Thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for taking us out of Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's only partially right. But it's mostly wrong. Pesach is about Amunah. That's what it's about. It's about Mesorah, V'gadah to Levincha, to know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. It's the Yontiv of Amunah. How do we come to Amunah? Min anisim agdoilam amefursamim adamaydim, anisim anastarim. You come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Bairi Umayim l'chal ha'bruv u'levadoi osav oisav yasav l'chal ha'masim. How? From the nisim agdoilam amefursamim. That's the vehicle. But at the end of the day, what's the avoidah of Pesach? The avoid of Pesach is to recognize not only that the big things happen from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, That's a shtickel of hechitimtza. But the avoid of Pesach is to recognize that every single thing is kichol dvareinu umikreinu kulam nisin. Ein b'hem teva minhoge shaloyvam. Bein b'rabim, bein b'yachim. That's the avoid of Pesach. The avoid of Pesach is that. And any person that just talks about CPTS Mitzrayim, v'gad t'levich, but doesn't come today, missed the whole punchline. You can tell a joke and then you miss the punchline and it's going to fall flat. It's not funny. So this is the punchline. The punchline is, what are you supposed to take from the Nisim? It's Shekol Varenu Mekreinu Kulam Nisim Ein Bam Teva Menoga Shel Olam. This is not a Yontiv of Hoidah. Yeah, that also. But that's not what it's not Thanksgiving Day for a week and 8 days of Chutz La'aretz. What it is it's a Yontiv of Amunah. It's working on Amunah. That's what it is. It's Amunah, Amunah, Amunah. That is what the Yontiv of Pesach is. Kimavur Besvarim HaKadoshim. That's Pashat. Either way, so if that's the case, I think maybe that's the reason why you can't bring a carbon toida. Because at the end of the day, Avada carbon toida is gewaldig. Thank you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Suda Soida. Wow, you bring a carbon. It's not shaykh. Carbon toida is not shaykh. We know that. Of course it is. And that's obviously. Because I'll say, Kala Karbonis Asidim Libatul Chutz with the carbon toida. Right? Mizmal Asoida. Right? The Shulchan Aruch talks about Mizmal Asoida. All the Shirois are going to be bottled except for the Shira of Mizmal Asoida. There's nothing to toys, nothing like it. Oh, but at the same time, says the Ramah, the Meister carbon toida had Chametz. You want to know why it had chametz? Because the Eitz Ahar is chepening in the carbon toida. Because at the end of the day, let's be honest, there's a suda for someone that never had a tzara that crept out of. But what about a person that never had the tzara? He doesn't wake up in the morning and make a suda. And you know why? Because at the end of the day, the nisim hamu for some and we daher. But the nisim anastar, not so much. Pesach is all about coming to the hakara of every single thing that happens is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So maybe, if a person would bring the carbon toida on Pesach, so now we're ready, you're shtickle missing what it's all about. What do you mean? I'm giving haidah. It's not about haidah. It's about coming to an amuna, a point where you recognize that every single thing comes from the Eibishter. And in a way, when a person brings a carbon toida, he's actually violating that point. And maybe that's why in the Pnimius HaTorah, as much as you would have thought that there isn't a more appropriate time of the year to bring the carbon toida than on Pesach, after further review, it could be just the opposite. It could be carbon Pesach is dafka a time where we don't bring a carbon toida because we show, I'm not just going to give a dafka for that traumatic thing that happened. If I cared, I realize what the point of Pesach is. And ich verstehe, shakol dvareinu mikreinu, it's all nisim. And that's why I'm not going to focus on anything big. If I cared, this is not a time to bring a carbon toida. This is a time to acknowledge that every single thing in a person's life, no matter how big, no matter how small, all comes from the Eibishter.